continue to talk more hockey. Ryan Shock from TSN joins us. Shocker, how are you doing?
I'm awesome, buddy. How are you?
Good. Do you watch the World Cup?
I'll have it on in the background, but I don't watch. I don't pay that close attention to it, to be honest with you. I don't have the time to sit around and watch soccer games. You know, I don't have to cover it for work, so then I just don't really have the time to sit around and watch. Do you pay much attention? I know you have it on there during the show and stuff.
Oh no, I love soccer. I played it growing up, so yeah. I watched my Germans dismantle Portugal today, so that was quite fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Especially big shout out to my buddy Portuguese Johnny, who's devastated. He's in our fantasy football league right now. He's not even returning texts. I'm not even sure he's alive right now. Like, he's so devastated. Like
well,
there's,
we probably know where the chirps are going to come from.
Well, hey, there's...
So you're the last call he's going to answer.
There's losing, and then there's getting embarrassed. Like, you're Spain or you're Portugal right now.
Yeah.
You're, like, the TSN worst team of the tournament right now. It's a dead heat. Like, dead heat. So, it's a lot of fun, though. NHL.
Yeah.
Of course, lots happening now over the next 3 weeks. It's going to be crazy. Of course, you've got teams who did the club arbitration yesterday, only two of them in Ryan O'Reilly and Michael Frolik, which, you know, doesn't mean anything if they can get a deal done between now and then. But Paul Stastny, coming off a $6.6 million per year contract, what do you think he gets? Like, is he just foolish not to test the free agent market to see if someone's willing to pay him $7.5 million?
Well, I mean, he's not even 30 years old yet, right? So the thought process would be he's probably still got some good years ahead of him. And what did he have, 20, 24, 25 goals or something this year?
Yeah, and he was a solid two-way player.
Yeah, and decent two-way player. So, I mean, I don't know if seven would be there for him, but there's got to be some good solid cash out there for the guy, and I think he... Yeah, I would be testing the market, especially in a year like this when there isn't going to be a ton. It's not a real great free agent pool out there. So, yeah, I'd be taking my skills to the free agent market, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, you know, there is something about a comfort level, right? Cause, and the other thing is Colorado can't offer him 8 years, and everybody else can only offer him seven. Mm-hmm. So. I guess you look at the average. You would need the team. He'd have to move and go somewhere else and make $1 million a year extra. Like if Colorado offered him $7 million a year, he'd have to get $8 million to kind of make up for that, right?
Yeah, I mean it's getting a little dangerous though, getting into that kind of cash for him, because he's never, I mean, earlier on in his career, like 4 or 5 years ago, he was just looking at his stats. Now, I mean, he had a big year, closing in on 80 points earlier on in his career, but like he's a 60-point player now. He's a 60-point two-way player. So you throw $7 million at those guys, and he's not when we say two-way, he might be decent in his own end and have a good two-way game, but he's not hitting anybody. He's not any kind of physical presence at all. So I think you got to be careful about giving too much money to this guy.
No, and that's exactly my argument with Anton Strahlman. Like, I like Anton Strahlman. I think he's a very good second-pairing defenseman. But people who want to go out and pay him $5 million, I think you're setting yourself up for big-time disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that's going to be tough to project is, you know, in 3 years' time, where will the cap be, and what will a $5 million defenseman look like in your lineup? Will there be number four and number five $5 million defensemen? Will the cap be so high that, you know, because right now a second pairing defenseman at $4 million doesn't really seem like a big deal, does it? Well, a few years ago, maybe that would have. So will a $5 million defenseman seem like a big deal as a second pairing or fourth or fifth guy in 4 years from now? I'm not sure. But deals that you sign now, how they look down the road. And that's part of what the GMs have to do, is figure out, wow, might feel a little off in this landscape, but where this whole thing is heading, it'll be okay. And that's the magic of trying to do it properly. And Strahlman might be a perfect example of that. He might, like, whatever deal he gets, I mean, if somebody decides to give him $4.5-5 million, that deal might actually look okay in a couple of years if his level stays similar.
Well, my concern is when you look at players, and you know what, and I've seen all of his number, and people are saying, well, Gregor, he'd put more points up if he played in the power play. But actually, if you look at his points for 60 minutes on the power play, he's awful the last 4 years in New York. He's just not a power play guy for whatever reason, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to find stay-at-home defensemen who are under 6 feet tall and under and 195 pounds who can consistently play top pairing minutes. You might be able to do it when you have Mark Stahl and then you split it up with McDonough-Girardi pair. I get it, right? Because then you're doing it for certain minutes of the game. But if he's coming here in Edmonton, A, he's a right defenseman, so that means Schultz and Peacher on your second and third pair, which is fine. But then he's got to play top pairing minutes with who? Andrew Ferentz, Klefbom, Marinson, or some other left defenseman? Fine, whoever they sign isn't going to be Mark Stahl.
Yeah.
So now you're asking him to play more minutes, likely against more consistent top pairs. How does he handle that at that size and a pure defensive defenseman who doesn't bring you any offense? I just think it's a valid question to see. I think they're setting him up for failure if you think that's what he is.
Yeah, for sure. It's like Nicholas Jalmerson in Chicago, right?
But
he's bigger, right?
Yeah, he's like 220 pounds, right? That's the difference.
I don't know if he's quite that heavy, but he's well over 6 feet tall. But there's not really any offense there. Now, maybe if he didn't play behind Duncan Keith and now Nick Leddy, maybe second power play timer could have been a little bit better numbers over the years, but he's a little bit better equipped. But he's a guy that playing in different cities probably would have been closing in on being a first pairing guy or certainly a second pairing guy, which he's been in Chicago for a while here. So yeah, it's tough to know how those guys will do when they are right, when they become the guy. And that's so tough, is to go find the guy who is in that B slot right now who is ready to be in the A slot. And not just survive, but actually succeed in that number one or number two spot. You don't want to bring in guys that can just get by. You want guys that, if he's your number one or two defenseman, you're in good shape, right? And I don't see Strawman being a top-pairing guy on a good team.
No, that's exactly it. And that doesn't mean he's not a good player. I think he'd be an excellent complimentary guy. Just if he's your $5 million defenseman, I think you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. It's not, you don't want him to be your go-to guy and you don't want to pay the guy hoping he'll be that for you. Pay a guy because you know what he is and you're okay with what he is. Unless you feel strongly that there's a lot of development left. I don't know what all of a sudden is going to turn him into that guy. It's not like some younger guys who that you feel they're maybe on the precipice of taking a step. He kind of is what he is a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no argument at all, for sure. Other players that intrigue you for the Edmonton Oilers, I went through the list today of defensemen, because I think that's the most important one, right? You've got Niskanen, Strawman, and Fain are 27. Mezeros, Nikita Nikitin, Kyle Quincy are 28. Hunwick, Stoner are 29 years of age. Matt Green, Gilbert are 31. Then you're getting a little older, and Ork, Pick, and Hainsey, 33. Markov's 35. Talinder, Morris are 35. Willie Mitchell, Stefan Robidoux, 37 years of age. Yeah. Who of those guys interest you the most?
Well, he just rattled off like 30 guys. I thought that when Kyle Quincy moved to the Detroit Red Wings, I thought it was a decent pickup. He's not a small guy. He's not overly physical though either. So, I mean, I'm not going to put him at the top of that list by any stretch. I don't know. I mean, I think that the Oilers still need to look seriously acquiring a guy via trade to be that guy. If they're going to find a guy that really fits for them, it's not necessarily going to be in the free agent pool. They'll take a run at some guys, I'm sure, but I still feel that there could be a fit there with a player like Braden Coburn, and I still think that deal could be there to be had. So there's that potential. But yeah, it's a long list, and I haven't gone over it with a fine tooth comb like you did today. Is there a top of the list for you?
Well, you know, I like Strawman, just not unfortunately you have to overpay him. I think, you know, they look at guys like Andre Mezeros is an intriguing guy a little bit for me. Now, because I think the Oilers are going to have to find some value prices, which is hard in free agency. I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they, like Matt Niskanen, if he goes to free agency, he's going to get grossly overpaid. And I think Anton Strawman, same thing. I think you'd be better served to maybe get a second-tier guy that you don't have to overpay who could be a solid number four or a five. Fane's got, you know, he's got some pretty good numbers. I don't mind him at all. I'd still love Ron Hainsey for a year or two. I like a lot of things he brings, right? Even I even think Derek Morris at a year would be a fine sign. Like, if you could get a veteran guy like that for a year, not your first free agent guy, he would really help your team because he's competitive as hell. He can play a lot of different things. And I think just his experience, he should be able to help some of the other young defensemen. At his age, you know what, I think he'd be interested in that, although he might be more interested in playing on a competitive team.
Yeah, you wonder where a guy will want to go at that point in his career. The thing I don't mind about him is he's got a little bit of edge to his game, too. He'll protect his teammates, and he's not afraid to mix it up a little bit if he has to. What the Oilers don't need more back there is guys who are just want no part of the rough stuff at all. Enough of that, and they have enough of that coming as well. Between Klefbom and Marinch, and that's two more guys to add to the lineup in the next couple of years here who don't really have that dimension in any way, shape, or form in their game. Now, Darnell Nurse will be a different story when he arrives, but you know, a little bit of a dimension is required back there, I think. They tried to bring it in Fraser because they knew they absolutely had to have it when Fistrick wasn't around, and I don't like the idea of them not having any of that on their blue line at all. And so whoever they go out and get in a veteran guy, that would be a real good asset for him to have. Just an ability to handle himself in the tough stuff and to be there and look out for some of his teammates, that kind of a thing, I think is important for them to have a little bit of on their blue line.
What type of deal do you think Ryan O'Reilly gets?
Yeah. Boy. You know, I just depends on how, if they want to go really long term with the guy. You know, I mean, he had the offer sheet. There's lots of interest in that guy out there. They seem to have struggled all along the way with this guy for some reason. You know, just for some reason, it seems like there's been this tough fit. Him and the organization haven't seemed to have gotten along through this process. And almost a la Cody Hodgson type thing with Vancouver. Sometimes you just get on the wrong side of it with these teams, and it's tough to get it back. So it just depends on how many years they want to give him. Because the more years they give him, they'll get him at a better dollar, I'm sure. So I don't know. What's the range they even start in? Is he a $6 million guy? That's what they're giving these other young franchise guys of theirs. Do they consider him to be the same way?
See, the thing about Riley is when you look at the makeup of Colorado, like, I really like their team because, you know, you've got Stastny and O'Reilly who are big enough and strong enough and smart enough and experienced enough to play two-way. And then you've got pure offense and Duchesne and MacKinnon. Like, they have a nice mix and diversity of their top skill guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they could keep all four of them, man, I think they look good long term.
But do they give this guy the long term deal, right? Or do they do a few years with him and bridge it a little bit? Or what?
Well, keep in mind that this is kind of the second time, right? Because Calgary offer sheeted him. Remember a few years ago, that's how he got this contract, and he's making $7.5 million. But most people felt like, you know, that was obviously an overpayment for what he was. That. You know, if Matt Duchesne's making six, can you pay him more than Matt Duchesne? I don't see how you can.
Well, that's why I say, Is he a $6 million guy long term? Are you willing to give him that? I don't know how you pay him more than you pay Matt Duchesne. No. I don't understand how they can do that. Now, Ryan O'Reilly can simply say, well, the market's changed since he did that deal, and this is what I feel I'm worth. But if you're the Avalanche, I'm not sure you necessarily want to go do that. And they've got... Like, Landeskog is a good player with lots of dimension to his game, right? Matt Duchesne is the pure offensive guy. Nate MacKinnon is going to command huge money in a few years' time. You don't want to hamstring yourself. Ryan O'Reilly's a real good player. But I don't see the future of them being able to win or not resting with Ryan O'Reilly. There's more important players on that team. So I don't know that I would be paying him a whole lot more than Matt Duchesne, regardless of what the Flames are willing to give the guy.
Yeah. No, you don't get an argument from me on that. And the Edmonton Eskimos preseason game on Friday night. I don't make much of the end result other than they lost late down the stretch, right? Which was kind of symbolic of what's happened the last few years. Mm-hmm. But you know, the offense looked good in the first quarter. Definitely looks more diverse. They're going to throw the ball and not just down the field. They'll actually have screens and they'll try to run the ball more. But were you surprised that when Riley came in, it was pass, 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 and then when Matt Nichols came in to start the second half, they ran the ball a lot with Hugh Charles. I found that interesting.
Yeah, well, and I'm not sure if that's 100% by I mean, I guess it is by design to a certain extent. Riley's going to want to get a feel for it. I mean, I think they're going to want to run the guy less, don't you? I mean, I think that's the game plan with him is not to have to run him as much, not get him beat up and banged up so much. I think they want him throwing the football a lot this year. Don't you get that sense?
Well, they're going to want to run the – well, they can't run the ball less than what they ran it last year.
I mean him running it.
Oh, well, yeah, there's no chance. I said that. I said the safest bet I'll make is that Mike Riley's not rushing for 700 yards this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they want to take that. As much as you respect the bravery and all that stuff, they got a lot riding on this guy, and they need to, just like Taylor Hall learned to curb his game when he was truly the go-to guy, Mike Riley will probably have to learn to curb his a little bit here and not take those hits. They need him for the long term here. So, yeah, I'd be calling a lot of passing plays too and tell him, and I'd be giving him strict instructions not to be going headfirst into anybody, regardless of the competitive level.
Shogar, we will talk to you later this week. Quickly, if you're Craig McTavish,
yes,
priority number one, defense before centerman.
Yeah, right now I would say that the defense is probably, like, the defense for right now is a significant issue. So they're basically one and 1A in terms of priority levels. But if I were him, I'd be more concerned who's going to be on the blue line this season than who's going to be down the middle. Because he has, I mean, worst case scenario, if he's got to go Nugent, Hopkins, and Gagne, he can do it. Problem is, if he doesn't improve his blue line, he's going to have young guys here that maybe shouldn't be here. He needs to bring in some veteran guys that will allow those kids time to marinate in the minors. So for that reason, it's more a pressing need right now so that they don't have to rush these kids in.
Well, I would agree there. I definitely wouldn't rush them in. And I think there's enough veteran defensemen that you can sign a guy. And you know what? If he's your number six for 30 games and then you sit him in the press box because Clefbaum's had another half a year of seasoning, fine. I have no problem doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure where his head is at in terms of wanting those guys to start or not. But I think history's shown over and over again that more time in the minors isn't going to hurt anybody. And another year for these guys to get themselves sorted out. And as injuries happen, you know they're going to get called up at some point anyways. So he needs to add some true NHL defensemen to the organization so he doesn't have to rush everybody.
Shogar, good to talk to you.
You too, pal.